Welcome on board the Tories podcast. This is an alternative Tourist guide with the funniest people on the planet. And me, Vic Elizabeth Turnbull. And I'll be chipping along for the ride on their trips to this country's most loved places, best kept secrets, backstreet dives, and some unlikely destinations. Each episode, I'll invite a new guide to give us a no-holds-barred tour of a place they've never been before but have always wanted to visit. Come with us. Get your tourist on. Discover some gems right on your doorstep or visit somewhere completely new, all alongside your favourite comedians and well-known faces. Buckle up, enjoy your journey, and remember, please try to keep all personal items with you.
Unintentionally inaccurate. Sorry. This podcast is ready to depart. Please stand clear of the doors.
I'm in Manchester for the very first Tories podcast. There's so much to explore in this city and across Greater Manchester. So, this is where we'll be basing our adventures for this series. Our tour guide for this episode is a queen from Rochdale. She's an award-winning writer, she's a stand-up comedian, she's an actress, and she's a top pal of mine. It's Katie Mulgrew! And we're off to find out about one of Victorian England's most badass women.
In 1,000 feet at the roundabout, take the second exit onto Brunswick Street.
That's Google Maps. Sorry.
That's not Katie Mulgrew.
No, I don't have that formal of an etiquette of speaking.
So we're in the car?
Yeah. Well, we're currently in the beautiful, rainy, cosmopolitan suburb. We're not in a suburb, are we? We're sort of just outside the city. So is this still city centre?
No, we're on the precipice.
I'm aware that I'm having a conversation with myself and this is unhelpful on a podcast.
So, Katie, where are you taking us? Where are we going?
So we're on our way to Elizabeth Gaskell's house, who was a badass author lady. He wrote Cranford, and that is literally all I know about him.
You're the first tourist on the Tourist podcast. How are you feeling about that?
In a quarter mile, turn right onto Upper Brook Street.
She wasn't talking to you, Google Maps.
She's actually the first guest.
She's technically the first guest. I'm excited because I've been a tourist in my own city, really, because I'm going somewhere I don't even know where it is, which is why I'm relying on the matron of Google Maps to get us there. I'm excited about the knowledge that I will find because I am a seeker of truth and knowledge. It stopped telling me where to go. I'm gonna go left.
Well, we can just park up and have a little walk. That's the beauty of Google Maps.
It's visible, isn't it? It's pissing it down. Sorry, can I say piss?
Yeah, you can say piss.
All right, okay.
So if you imagine in the 1850s and 60s when she lived here, all this were fields, mate.
That coach there, that Elizabeth coach, was a cart and horse. Just past the blood donor centre. I gave blood in December for the first time, so you all should as well. That's just FYI. Oh, have they got a car park? Oh, hang on.
We're here.
Sorry,
now.
Sorry, I
just
mean,
arrived.
This is, anyone listen to this? It's like, she's just started talking about car parking, but as a woman in her 30s.
It's a very important subject.
You'd be surprised how often I use the words, it's the parking.
Can you park around here?
I don't know, but
permit holders.
Her house is beautiful, though. Her house is... Did she have money? So am I going to hate Elizabeth Gaskell? Don't spoil this. Like, don't tell me. We've got to wait.
I think this round here, Kate, is just residents.
If anyone listens to this and you're genuinely excited about whether we're going to find a parking space or not,
keep cheering.
If you're riveted by this element of the podcast.
Well, this is Manchester.
I can't even imagine what you... I can't.
I can't squeeze in there. And there's glass on the floor like someone's tried to break in.
Oh, for God's sake.
Elizabeth Gaskell lived in a rough part of town.
I mean, you're saying this, but it's sort of rough now, though, is it? Was it rough in Victorian England times?
No, because they built these style of houses to accommodate the middle classes as the industrial part of Manchester was swelling with a dirty working class.
I like how you said dirty then.
Dirty. So these big houses here that, like...
Oh my God, it's a purple house. Why would you?
I don't think it was purple in the Victorian times.
Mate, that's hanging. It's not an easy on the eye purple. It just looks like a massive bruise. Oh, Parking space, victory! Oh no, do you know what?
What?
It's outside, we're outside a primary school. The mums and dads are going to hate us.
Do you want to look a bit about Elizabeth Gaskell?
Gaskell.
Both women I'm excited about.
Novelist.
I knew that.
She's a Victorian strong woman.
We're not one of those strong women. Oh, we're sick of them.
So she was, yeah, very rare at the time to be, a
strong Victorian powerhouse.
Because they're all sort of like, oh, done to.
I mean, if you believe period dramas, the majority of Northern women lived downstairs and were housemaids or were prostitutes.
She was neither.
She's already winning then, isn't she?
Right, apparently. She was a beautiful young woman.
I mean, I know that cross to bear when you've got looks and talent. I mean, I feel very close to Liz.
And for exercise, she would happily walk 3 miles to help another person in distress.
Purposely wanting people to be distressed so she can get her pedometer up.
She can get steps in, yeah. Right, on that note.
I hope you come down with scarlet fever so I can work on my thighs today,
I've
mate.
I've got 5,000 steps to go. Deal, deal. She was part of like a really good egg group. She was like one of life's good eggs.
What do you mean, like she had her own Brat Pack or something? Is it as impressive as Taylor Swift's squad?
Oh, she smashes Taylor Swift to the ground in a strong woman type of way.
You can't see this, listener, but as Victoria was trying to say that metaphor, her eyes sort of went upwards as in, I don't know where this is going, but we'll carry on.
Charlotte Bronte.
Oh, wow. That's already a good one, isn't it?
Gaskell squad. Yeah. She had, can you hear the rain? Sir Charles Halley, the guy at Halley Orchestra guy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Harriet Martineau, the first female sociologist.
Oh, wow. Is right. that it?
No, she knew Charles Dickens.
He was it in the squad though, but she knew him.
Well, she knew him, right? He said something really horrible about her.
No, wait, don't say that because Charles Dickens, like David Copperfield's one of my favourite books.
You're not going to like Charles Dickens.
Oh, forgot. Oh, no. What did he say? So, in fact, I don't know whether I want to know. I don't know if I want you to ruin Dickens for me.
So Charles once came with his wife unannounced to the house across the road at 10 o'clock in the morning. And Elizabeth, Lizzie, I'm going to call her. Liz.
We'll call her Liz.
Said he came at 10 a.m. and she considered it far too early, so already she had a bit of a beef with him. Right, but Dickens, Charles invited Lizzie to write for his magazine in London,
right?
But she was a bit lax with the deadlines.
Okay,
so Charles hated it and their relationship became fraught.
What, because she couldn't keep the deadlines?
Yeah,
that's a shit way to ruin a friendship. I mean, I'm like, neither of us are ever on time for each other. Like, there's been times where even like an hour late and we're still, it's been like 14 years of friendship just because she was a little bit late adding a few bits of paper in.
Yeah, this is a victim.
Chill out, Chaz.
Well,
absolute square.
He didn't say it to her face, but he wrote a letter to a friend and said,
they're so passive aggressive, Victorians, writing a letter to her friend who then wrote a letter to her, I assume. It's like Facebook, isn't it? It's like putting a post on someone's wall and then that person adding you in.
Imagine if someone posted this on your friend's wall.
Go on then.
Oh, Mrs. Gaskell, fearful. Fearful if I were Mr. G. Oh, heaven, how I would beat her.
What? Are we... Oh, Charles
Dickens.
So he's
saying if he was Gaskell's husband, he'd beat her.
That's upset me because Charles Dickens is like the voice of the working class. Like Taylor Sousa is, Oliver Twist, David Copperfield, like... He was like a voice for people that couldn't speak, and also like there's so much horrible like violence, and there's so many male characters that are subjected to violence that it changes their view of the world. That's really odd.
I know. More oddities is that she hung out with Florence Nightingale.
I bet Flo was a right laugh.
And the Darwins. So her circle of friends, apart from Dickens, who we know is a bit of a dick now.
But they were pretty much, they were A-list Victorians.
Hanging around with the people that were changing society as we knew it then.
We can't walk and talk because it's
typically Manchester pissing it down outside.
Yeah, it's really bad. I don't know whether I might start the car again and then maybe try and get a parking space in the car park.
Shall we?
Should we try?
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous considering I've lived in Manchester my whole life, but I'm wearing a coat without a hood.
Oh, right, we're on the move.
Will we get a parking space? Will we? Oh, no, wrong gate.
So the Elizabeth Gaskell House is now a museum, by the way. It's not just, someone doesn't just live there. Derelict for years and years. It only just got renovated in like 2014.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hi, time for some credible information. This is the lovely Sally, and she's the house manager at the Elizabeth Gaskell House. And we'll hear from Sally again a little bit later on.
We have four period rooms that you can have a look around that are have been restored to how they would have been when Elizabeth and her family lived here. We've also got a small exhibition room, and we've got a tea room in the basement area. We've got a small shop, and we've got lots and lots of secondhand books that you can buy. From the 60s to the late 90s, it was actually student accommodation, and the International Society, it was the base for the International Society for the University of Manchester. It was the party house. So we're in the tea room at the moment, and this was the nightclub area, and there was a bar down here, and it was known for its parties. We do get quite a few visitors who come back from Australia, New Zealand, America, who lived here and who are come back 50 years later. So after it was obviously end of the 90s, it wasn't really fit to live in anymore. So the house was acquired by a charity, Manchester Historic Buildings Trust, led by a wonderful lady called Janet Allen, who led a group, all volunteers, all doing it off their own back. Eventually they were able to get Heritage Lottery funding, £2.6 million, which enabled the house to be completely restored. If you have a look at pictures of how it was before, you can see the extent. It is a complete transformation. The main thing is it used to be pink as well, so everybody locally called it the Pink House. We opened to the public in October 2014, and we've been open ever since. Long may we continue.
What's that noise? You've got your seatbelt on?
Yeah. Is the car park?
I think so, yeah.
Alright. Is it? Oh god, maybe it's not. Oh god, no, I think it's the wrong one. I think it's the next one.
Live parking.
Oh, bloody Victorians. I mean, I'm doing a 3-point turn in a bloody Victorian courtyard. Oh god. let me put my bloody seatbelt on. Ugh. God, to live in Victorian times when everything was easier.
Have you ever read any Elizabeth Gaskell books?
I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what she's written apart from Cranford, which I didn't read, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the BBC adaptation.
She wrote North and South?
Oh my God, she wrote North and South? Yeah. Oh, that's my favourite. That's my favourite ever period drama that's ever been on TV. Oh no, this is residence parking only. Why is Gaskell's house not got any parking? Oh, this is unbelievable. But I love North and South. It's got my favourite brooding Victorian man in it. You kind of hate him, but you don't hate him because he's super fit.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's not actually that arrogant. He really does care. And I'm doing some really appalling, I'm not even going to lie, some of the worst reverse parking I've ever done. Almost ran over this guy.
Oh well.
Yeah, love it all for self. Anything else then? I'm super psyched now.
She also wrote the biography of Charles Bronte after she died.
Well, all the Bronte sisters wrote under pseudonyms. I thought the word pseudonym was said the way you spell it, so I thought it was Pseudonym for years, and no one ever corrected me until about a year ago. Pseudonym, walking around, because you only say the word Pseudonym to people that know about books, so you'd say to people who know about books, I think you'll have you know that Charlotte Bronte wrote under a Pseudonym, and they're just looking at me like, all right, pseudonym, you dick.
Right, we're here.
There's a blue plaque, which means it's obviously very important because everything in modern day Britain that is important and relevant has a blue plaque. I'm dreaming for the day that I have a blue plaque.
Isn't it you've got to be dead 100 years and then they give you one?
No. Is it?
Have I got that completely wrong?
Have you made
wrong?
That up?
It's a long time
anyway.
Can you
confirm this at a later time?
It's like 50 or something. Oh, no, really? You can't have one when you're still alive.
I can't just like carry a blue plaque around with me. This legend was born here in this body. Elizabeth Gleghorn Gaskell, novelist and authoress of Mary Barton, Cranford and many other works, lived here. They haven't mentioned my favourite, North and South. Give me a pen.
A Sharpie.
I'll stick it on. In parentheses. She lived here 1850 to 1865, so she lived there for 15 years. That's quite a big chunk of time.
Neo something architecture, it's called.
It looks really nice. They've done, obviously it's been smartened up. It's got all the old brickwork, but it's been repainted. It's got Grecian columns, like, and they're meant to be there as well, because there's a part of Manchester called the A34 Kingsway, and there's a lot of houses where they've just decided to add Grecian columns to the outside.
I love that. I love it, like, when I see that.
Like, looks totally out of place.
These are the ones that have got fences all the way around and, like...
Yeah, just, like, really ill-conceived extensions out the front.
If you look around though, Casey.
Yeah.
How out of place does it look?
Oh yeah, I mean, we're smack bang in the middle of a council estate.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is a bit weird. This looks like a house. You know the road that Mary Poppins goes to?
I've never seen Mary Poppins.
It's for anyone who has. It's the Banks family home. Yeah. Did she have it built specifically for her? Well, should we find out?
No, come on. Yeah, let's go in.
Let's go fly a kite up to the highest side. Oh, they've got a doorbell and it says pull on it, and I don't think that's original Victorian.
It works.
Oh my God,
it works.
The bell rang. The bell worked. There's a lady who's come to open the door.
Hello. Right, we're in.
We're going into her husband's study, and yeah, there is
William
Gaskell, who was a
U-ten. He was the one who actually got Aunt Liz into writing.
Oh, that's amazing. She's been encouraged by a minister husband, because in Victorian times, a lot of them were like, oh, writing is the devil, creative thoughts, women will be hysterical if they have thoughts.
That's a good point, because they had a little boy, and he died, and to get over the grief, Mr. Will said to Lizzie,
that you should write.
Take your mind off it. Write a novel.
That's amazing. Oh, William. I'm saying this while I'm looking at his portrait. I was like, William, you're a good egg, mate. He does look a bit like Abraham Lincoln.
Just because he's got whiskers.
I think it's like there's like a wiseness, but yeah, it's his really long sideburns.
Some people couldn't believe that these two had got together, actually.
What, because he was like a quiet minister type and she was like a sassy lady?
So I read that in many ways they seemed completely ill-suited. Now, someone's actually wrote these words. Elizabeth was short and plump, talkative and romantic.
Right.
While William was tall, thin, hard-working and serious. But their marriage was close and happy.
I mean, you've literally just described me and my husband. Pretty much. I mean, I'm not that short.
You're not short. You are talkative.
I'm a bit plump and I'm quite talkative and romantic. And he's very hardworking and tall. Oh my God, I feel such a connection to you, Liz.
Are you feeling the vibrations?
I feel like we should do a Ouija board. Come in, Liz.
Where are
Come
you?
Come in, Will. Give me some marriage counselling. It's a very nice fireplace. I mean, you can tell that I'm ready for renovating my house at home, because I'm just looking at all the period features going, oh, that's nice. Oh, I like the light. Oh, good fireplace.
Nice radiator there.
Lovely period feature.
Let's have a look at some books.
Wow, these books are well old, mate.
Give us a passage.
A tale from the French stage. He had now come solo to know his intentions. There was no haste to decide. The lawyer thought otherwise. There you go, I'll leave that cliffhanger with you.
If you want to read more, come to Elizabeth Gaskell House. Should we leave William?
Yeah, we'll go in the other room. I did learn a little snippet on the way out there from the tour guide. Their daughter got a female artist to do the portrait. I'm loving the absolute feminism in this house. Where are we now? We're in a parlour, is it? I think this is like the living room. Would they call it the parlour? And there's a big, I don't think this is Victorian because it's a big telly, and it's an 1860 map of Elizabeth Gaskell's Manchester. Oh, have you touched it? Oh, you touched it. I get very excited. I mean, this is pointless for people listening. I'm going to press on a little blue dot with a feather in it, and that's the Athenaeum, which was founded in 1835 as a membership society whose goal was the advancement and diffusion of knowledge. Ah, tell you what, Manchester in Victorian times was cracking.
Oh yeah, massively.
Pretty into it, mate.
I like it how they disguise that telly as a picture.
Might have that at home. Just give me ideas. Ugly, smoky Manchester, dear, busy, earnest, noble, working Manchester by Elizabeth Gaskell.
There were over 100 mills in Manchester at this time when she was around.
Seems an excessive amount of mills, to be fair. We're now over in the corner of the parlour. There's a load of, like, I reckon most likely personal items. So there's Elizabeth's wedding veil, which is quite nice. A bust of Elizabeth Gaskell. What does a bust mean?
Bust?
Oh my God, that's supposed to be Elizabeth Gaskell.
It's like that's not it. Is it up there?
What, up there? Oh, bust. I thought it was this weird, like, doll in the corner.
Bet that comes alive at night.
That would be a Doctor Who villain, that doll. The Gaskells moved into the house during the spring of 1850, paying £150 a year in rent. Oh, fuck off, Gaskells.
So that might seem like a drop in the ocean, but that's £18,500 in today's money. So that is roughly about £1,500 a month.
That's like a flat in central Manchester, isn't it?
She wasn't that happy with the house to start off with.
Oh, who is, mate?
Because it was so expensive and there was so much poverty around her, she felt bad. Lizzie was actually building a house for him, and she died in that house that she was building for him.
Oh no. Why was she building him a house?
Just to thank him. She might have loved him.
It's a bit weird to go build your husband a house. It makes it sound like you want to get rid of him.
Oh, darling, I built you this house 1,000 miles away.
No, she wanted to live there with him. She kept it secret. And then she'd...
Oh, like a surprise.
Yeah, like a surprise, yeah.
Oh, I'm loving Lizzie every moment. Right, we're going into another room here.
Oh, this is Chintz Hev.
This is amazing. Oh, wow. I don't know what room this would be.
This is like the...
Would this be the parlour? I need to stop saying the word parlour.
I don't know what parlour is.
It's the only Victorian word I know. We've got a very large chest of drawers, very beautiful, ornate.
It's like the dresser from Beauty and the Beast.
It's always
beautiful. Do you like going to people's houses and looking around, like famous people's?
I don't just turn up at famous people's houses and want to
go. No, you know, like,
you mean people of significant, like museums. Do you mean?
Yeah, because I don't know. I just want them to be here.
I mean, I just like going into my friends' houses and having a nosy. So I don't really care whose house it is.
It appeals to the nosy side of you.
I mean, I didn't used to be asked about people's houses or how they lived, but now that I'm in my 30s, I quite like it. And it appeals to my Catholic judgmental side as well. Because I know she's been dead for hundreds of years, but I'm a bit like, oh, mate, skirting board needs a bit of work, Liz. The COVID, again, COVID's amazing.
COVID is amazing. I'm just quite impressed with the radiators, to be honest with you.
I don't know where their original... I don't think there was... radiators in Victorian times, was there? We should ask this lovely volunteer lady.
Hello.
Hello.
What's your name? Sorry.
Diane.
It's the first question we're going to ask about radiators.
Are they radiators original?
They were put in the house later. The Gaskells wouldn't have had radiators.
Did she write anything here?
She wrote her novels at the dining table.
Did she have her own room or anything, her own desk?
Well, no, if you've been around the other part of the house, William had the study.
How did he get the study?
We don't know whether she preferred to write in there, because if you go in there, you'll see the views of the garden.
Oh, you can see, actually, the start of the sort of grounds, I think you'd call it, wouldn't you, a garden?
Sprawling grounds.
I mean, you have to mind Photoshop out all of the white vans.
Well, this is how Elizabeth must have felt, being in this grand house and looking out on
like people with different sort of lifestyles.
And also, she would have been in the right place for the servants to ask her questions and for her daughters to come in, so she'd still be in the centre of the house.
You would have just thought if she wanted a bit of tranquility. And,
oh, I think he liked his man cave through there.
How long have you worked here for?
Been here about 18 months.
Do you love it?
Yeah. We all love the house. We all wish we lived here.
I wish I lived here.
Is it haunted, do you think?
No. Not that we know of.
You really wanted to say yes then, like you could feel Elizabeth in there.
I always say good morning to them when I come in the mornings. Aww. I always say good morning to Elizabeth and William when I come in the morning.
So
you do feel as if they're still here. It's almost as if they've just gone out and let us look at the house.
You are listening to Tori's Podcast, an alternative tourist guide with the funniest people on the planet. And me, Vic Elizabeth Turnbull.
This is the dining room where she wrote in. So they've got this table, which is where she wrote. She's excited. Oh, wow, there's a little feather quill. A little quill, I forgot about that.
Christ,
I mean, I can't believe we asked that lady about radiators when obviously there's no radiators. They've got quills. God, the amount of effort to write with a quill as well, mate. Even I find it laborious writing with a pen. Oh, here's a letter from Charles Dickens. Right, here's a letter being nice to her. Let me congratulate you on the conclusion of your story. Not because it is the end of a task to which you have conceived a dislike, for I imagine you would have got the better of that delusion by this time. Seems to me that you have felt the ground thoroughly firm under your feet and have strided on with a force of purpose that must now give you pleasure. So that's quite, like, from one writer to another writer, that's really nice.
And he was well snide afterwards, though.
I know. Maybe it was just like he's got a terrible sense of humour, you know, like dapper laughs or something. If anyone's listening to this podcast knows who that is, I think you're in the wrong place. Are we allowed to sit in the chair?
Yeah, you can sit on the chair.
What's your name again? Sorry. Christine. Thank you, Christine.
It's cool, though. It's cool because it's sat in the room where it happened.
It's sat in the chair where it happened.
I feel the power. Please give me some writing inspiration, Elizabeth.
I wonder if she had a comfier chair, though.
What do you mean, a comfier chair?
She has a dining chair.
Well, yeah, because it's in the dining room, isn't it? I still can't believe she gave him the study. What a great pair. Relationship goals, Will and Liz. Do you know what? It's a really lovely room and the light and stuff. I can see why this is where you'd want to write as well. Like, I write in my bed with my laptop open, with the curtains drawn.
Not very inspiring, is it? You want to get inspired when you look outside.
Yeah, well, I was joking about how I can't believe she gave the husband a study. Like, what? Because if she's the writer of the family, why would she not have her own study? But then it's actually a beautiful...
Was she sort of short-sighted? There's a magnifying glass on the table.
Well, have you seen the writing?
Is that how she wrote?
There's a paper in here that's, like, just gobbledygook, but because paper was so expensive, they had to cross-write.
How did she even keep track of what she was writing?
They'd write one way, and then they'd turn it and write the other way, because they paid for postage by the sheet, and it was expensive, because it's not like now where you can buy a ream of paper... And it's a couple of quid.
I had no idea that's how they... If anything, that's even more impressive of all these great literary arts.
They didn't have text, they didn't have apps, they didn't have telephones.
Makes me think about, like, a simpler time. I wish people still sent letters. She sounds like a really cool woman, actually, a really passionate lady. Yeah, we were reading a little bit about some of the things Charles Dickens said, and it's really put me off him, and I'm really sad about
it. He talked the talk, but he didn't walk the walk. Plus, you know, dumping his wife for an 18-year-old... You mean you didn't know?
Dickens dumped his wife.
No, I did. I did know that. Yeah. And it's so sad because David Copperfield is like one of my favourite books. But also makes me think, good on you, Elizabeth. Good on you for like butting heads.
William just wanted a peaceful life. He'd write his sermons. He'd borrow books from her for the portico because she wasn't allowed to be a member because she was a woman.
Yeah, that's what I felt. That was what was lovely to find out, actually, was that he was so supportive of her being a writer and encouraged her to do it. Which I think, I imagine in Victorian times, is quite an anomaly for the man to sort of encourage his wife to pursue creative works. What a good dude, William.
Wow, they're not real, are they? The bread's not real.
Why did you pick it up?
I thought they might put fresh out every day.
Just to check. Was Elizabeth religious at all? Or?
Well, she was a Unitarian minister's wife, so, you know, it's a case of having to be. And she got her hands dirty.
Oh, bless her.
And she fed people and, you know, she looked after... I mean, being a household servant isn't the best job in the world, but I think their servants had it a bit better.
Yeah. Please don't, because this is on loan. And
oh, God. Oh, sorry, I've just put the sound recorder down on the furniture.
So this is Manchester from Bellevue. You know what Bellevue looks like?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Bellevue. Oh, 1881.
You made a joke when we were on our way here, but everything was fields, but we're looking at a picture where everything is either fields or
mills.
Voice coach lady told me the reason why Mancunians and Liverpool natives have a very nasally accent was because of the smog from the factories. So the way that the way we had to breathe, and that's how we've got this, like, Mancunian.
Your age group of Manx are much more nasal than mine.
Oh, really?
Because now it's
I started. Well, I've been using that excuse, well, my ancestors were in the mills, so...
No, sorry, love. I blame Oasis, personally. I blame the Happy Mondays.
So I'm assuming that canal was the one I used to work near.
Obviously, back then, the canals were the canals used for transportation?
Yes, they were used for travel.
And used for transporting goods because they didn't have motorways. They had rail and they had the canals.
I didn't know that. That's brilliant.
You didn't know what?
Well, I knew we had lots of canals, but I don't think I thought we used them for a purpose. I think we just...
Shut up.
Do you want me to just turn the podcast off now? I think I just thought they were for travel.
It's for transporting goods.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me like that?
The coal barges. Everything was shipping on the canal.
I mean, that makes sense now.
And then the railway started.
She's speechless at how stupid I am.
That's why they were built, wasn't it?
All right, well, the whole point of this is for me to learn. And
you are learning.
I'm just blown away by how many, like, the smoke chimneys there are, how many there are. They're just, they're everywhere.
Well, if you look in city centre Manchester, all of those nice apartments and the loft apartments, they were all mills. They were warehouses.
What did the Hacienda was a mill?
I met my husband at... No, that was where we had our first date, was at the Hacienda.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's a memorable date.
It was.
Can you remember it?
Yes. And we were asked to remove ourselves from the dance floor because we weren't dancing so much as, you know.
Christine.
Oh, my God, I love... You're my favourite volunteer ever.
Several years later, when our daughter was about 16 or 17, she was sat on a bus and she says, this guy kept staring at me. And I went, what guy? She says, this big black guy staring at me. I said, why? She said, he comes up to me and goes, I remember your mum and dad on their first date. And it was the DJ, Ewan Clark, at the Hacienda, who saw us and remembered
it. Amazing.
That's what a story. So cool. Elizabeth Gaskell would have liked that story. I reckon she would have gone to Hacienda if she'd been alive then.
Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, oh, so did you get to the Hacienda? And I was like, how old do you think I am?
Not like, as old as me.
Oh, sorry. Right, Christine, we're going to move on. What's right, next?
You can go upstairs, there's an exhibition space upstairs, or you can go down into the tea room and have some cake. And have some Elizabeth Gaskell House tea, which is really nice tea, actually.
I mean, I like to think that I'm cultured. I'm like, I'll go see the exhibition, but my brain's going, get the cake, go get the cake, go get the tea.
Let's have a quick look upstairs.
Yeah, we have to, yeah. We're going upstairs and the stair runner, and it's lovely. It's making me think about redoing my house again. Sorry.
Well, do you have a stair runner?
Oh, yeah, the husband wants one. I'm not arsed, but he's all for it. He's got a whole Pinterest board about stair runners.
Do you know what? Upstairs is not that big.
No, it's tiny, actually, compared to downstairs. There's a little meeting room and a manager's office. So we go in here.
Oh, actually, it is big. I'm sorry.
We've gone into a room and now there's more rooms outside the room. It's a bit Alice in Wonderland.
She brought a cow here, you know. From her old house. She didn't want to leave it, so she brought it with her.
She put it on a barge, because that's blown my mind that people transport things on barges. You're still looking at me like I'm the stupidest woman you've ever met. There's loads of books here. So these are all the early American editions of Elizabeth Gaskell's work. Sylvia's Lovers. Oh, that sounds a bit fruity. Love it.
She wrote one under a pseudonym.
Pseudonym. Stop saying it, because you'll start saying pseudonym instead of pseudonym. A lot of women writers did start off, because the Bronte sisters... I think, if someone's listening to this, I apologise if it's not true. I think they stopped using pseudonyms after they had success. I think they were like, oh, we're actually women. Oh, sorry.
Oh, did they use male names?
So they get published, yeah.
Well, I've learnt something from you today, Katie.
I've learnt that sometimes, you know, in between painting our nails and pillow fights, we can write some really cool stuff.
It can be funny. We can do podcasts.
Should we go have some cake and tea? We're going downstairs to the tea room.
Which this would have been probably the...
This would have been the kitchen, I assume, or where the maid was.
Yeah, downstairs, I forget.
Oh, there's a quote on the wall saying, the interruptions of home life are never ending. Well, mate, you wanted to write in the dining room, so...
Well, this is lovely.
There's a little tea room, amazing.
Oh, how lovely is this?
Well, should we get some cups of tea?
Yeah.
Hello.
What
can I get you?
Can I have some Elizabeth Gaskell?
A pot for two?
Yes, please. Oh, my God, I can't believe getting officially... Like, if I ever become famous, I want tea named after me, not...
Really?
Like, I don't want a perfume like Kardashian.
Would you be a loose leaf or a bag?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe a bag. This is property. We've just been given a little hourglass egg timer, and we've got to wait till that brews, and then... Oh, my God, I love this place.
Oh, what an afternoon.
I promised that we'd hear more from the lovely Sally, and she's the house manager at the Elizabeth Gaskell House. And we chew her ear on all things Gaskell.
Do you think it's haunted?
No.
You've asked everybody that and everybody says no.
No.
I am often in the house on my own a lot and in the day and I never feel uncomfortable. It's a lovely house to work.
Is it haunted in a nice way though? Like a nice haunting?
I don't know.
And it's really cool that it's used for all the different creative things. She would have loved that, I reckon. I've decided I'm an expert. She would have loved it.
I do hope so, because that's when she moved in with her family, to misquote her wildly, is that she wanted to make the house as pleasing and welcoming to as many people as possible. So if we're able to do that through our open days, but also through our events and workshops, then that's a wonderful thing, really. And
it also engages people to come, because I didn't even know it was here, which is terrible.
Well, we've only been open 3 years, so that's excusable.
That's not a reflection on you. That is a reflection of me being incredibly uncultured and rubbish. But it's brilliant. I'm going to tell so many people to come.
I don't think a lot of people realise how close it is to the city centre. And if you visit on a Thursday, the Pankhurst Centre is also open on a Thursday, so you could do us on the Pankhurst Centre on the same day.
But it's a lovely place to come and visit, because the volunteers, we've been chatting to them on the podcast and they're brilliant. So how many volunteers?
About 40 volunteers. From our youngest is 17, she actually started when she was 16, and then our oldest is 90, who was 90 this year. We've got a really broad range of volunteers in terms of their interests and ages. They are wonderful, and they are really, really chatty, really friendly, and super knowledgeable.
That's really cool that they just are so into it. Like, I'm like a fan. I always was like a bit of a fan of some of the stuff she's written, but I think she's a really cool woman now that I've been around the house. I'd quite like to have hung out with her.
The more I find out about her, I really do like her. She was a working mother. She was a very modern woman.
They're quite progressive. Like, their marriage is quite progressive as well, in terms of him
sort of building up and encouraging her to have a creative pursuit.
It was how she balanced everything in her work. She had four daughters. She was, you know, active socially. She wrote to her friends. She was socialising. You know, it's
very cool. She's a very cool lady.
Oh, well, do you know what? I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I've come out for the trip.
That's the way you're going to finish the podcast. No, I'm kind of left the house.
Glad I got off once. Kate Mulgrew, thank you so much for joining me on the first episode of Tourist.
Thank you for having me. I was entertained and informed.
Well, this is what it's all about, isn't it?
You know what? I really enjoyed it, actually. I think the volunteers made it, actually, because they sort of give you an idea of who she was as a person and who he was. And I just thought, what a lovely woman and what a lovely relationship she had. Like, quite an inspiring woman. You know, as Sally said, juggle all of these things, you know, her writing, her social causes and her kids and her marriage. Like, I mean, modern women, that's such a massive thing for us now, a couple of hundred years later. So it's really resonated. Yeah. Look at me being serious, I don't like it.
This is the serious breakdown section of the podcast.
Break it down now.
Go, Lizzie!
Woo, woo, woo! Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh. You have just listened to the Tourist Podcast, an alternative tourist guide with the funniest people on the planet. I do hope we haven't ruined Dickens too much for you. And what about Elizabeth and the volunteers? How amazing were they? You can find out more about the Elizabeth Gaskell House and what they've got going on at elizabethgaskellhouse.com. Oh, oh. Did you enjoy your trip? Please spread the love across the web. We're on Twitter @ToriesPodcast and Facebook/ToriesPodcast, where you can find out about future episodes and whatnot. If you're on iTunes, give us a rating and subscribe to us on your favourite podcast directory. Also, if you've visited any of the places as a result of listening to this podcast, then let us know what you thought. #ToriesPodcast. Get a selfie with William's portrait. Sip some Elizabeth Gaskell tea. And what do you think of the radiators? Because I was quite excited by them. A big, big thank you to SSR, the School of Sound Recording in Manchester, for letting me record little bits and bobs of the podcast. You're so helpful and so lovely. And it made me feel professional for all of half an hour. Also, a big thank you to Matt Butcher. He's a wonderful designer behind all the beautiful graphics. And also a big thank you for listening.
As you liked, please watch your step between the podcast and the platform.